Hello, I'm Olympic medalist Goldie Sayers, and welcome back to another Insider, the podcast from the UK Sports Institute that lifts the lid on the science behind peak performance. So far in this special series on female athlete health, we've tackled topics like periods, the perimenopause, and sports bras. If you've missed any of our previous episodes, they're all available for free wherever you get your podcasts. But the last time we were together, I finished the show by asking you a question. So, what linked tennis star Serena Williams with some of Great Britain's most successful Olympic and Paralympic champions, Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill, Dame Sarah Storey, and Dame Laura Kenny? It's not just the medals or what they've achieved in their sport, which is remarkable. It's not even the honours given to them. It's that they all return to elite level competition following the birth of their children. But how difficult is that? And what support is available to athletes who want to balance family life with elite sport? Well, here to answer those questions and more is Esme Matthew, co-head of physiology at the UK Sports Institute. Hi, Esme.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And joining Esme, I'm delighted to introduce Dawn Ibrahim, athlete health lead for Paralympic sport and lead physiotherapist for British Para Swimming.
Hello.
So I'll start with you, Esme. What is a typical day for you in your role at the UKSI?
Lots of different things. So as co-head of physiology, my main role is to support the practitioners, the physiology practitioners that work across Olympic and Paralympic sports. But I also play a role in the female athlete health team, supporting pregnant athletes and their support teams. And I'm also involved in lots of other projects that go across the Institute, helping to support our practitioners to deliver to the athletes that they work with on the ground.
And Dawn, how about you?
So as an athlete health lead, one of my roles is to coach, mentor and support practitioners who work in para sports as well as the para sports themselves. So that's my 2 day a week role. And then my other 3 days is on the ground with British Para Swimming. So in the athlete health lead space and also from a lead physio point of view. So that's supporting athletes at camps, at competitions, as a physiotherapist.
And we're going to obviously be talking about pregnancy and pregnant athletes, but how does the UKSI network support pregnant athletes, Esme?
Well, we've got a female athlete health team that any athlete can connect with. And one of the things they might want to talk to us about is planning for pregnancy, being pregnant or returning to training postpartum. So they can access a number of different experts within the Institute. So we have doctors, physios, myself as a physiologist, nutritionist, psychologist, so they can work with a number of different people. They obviously also have their own support team that they work with really closely. So we're more there as a sort of external team to help support them in their sport. So majority of their support will just come from within that support team. And we also have access to sort of resources that are really helpful for athletes. So the UK Sport Pregnancy Guidance that we've worked with UK Sport to produce is really helpful as well. So a number of different avenues that athletes can access.
And obviously, not even that long ago, you know, having a sporting career and having a baby didn't necessarily go hand in hand. Do you think the culture now is changing a bit? And are you finding you're having more conversations about these things, Dawn?
Yeah, definitely. There's been a number of para athletes across different sports that have been pregnant. And therefore, it's actually that ability to support those practitioners and to upskill those practitioners to help support those athletes. But we've definitely seen a growing number of our athletes and our para athletes going through pregnancy and returning to sport afterwards.
And Esme, do you think, you know, some of our legendary athletes like Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill and those who've come back post childbirth, do you find that they've really changed perceptions amongst female athletes?
Definitely. There's no doubt that they've been able to sort of show what's possible, really. There's been a huge increase in the number of athletes this cycle that have become pregnant and gone back into their sport or chosen not to. So there's definitely the role modelling there that's happening. Not to say that it's an easy journey to take at times, but they've shown that you can actually do both. You can be a great mom and you can also be a world-class athlete at the same time, which I think previously those role models haven't necessarily been there to show what that journey could look like. So it's really great to see that, actually.
And have you got any statistics on how many people have come or returned to sport probably not exactly, but kind of roughly, I'm interested.
Just from my own experience, I guess, I don't have any sort of definite stats, but I'll probably say 90% of the athletes I've worked with have returned into their sport. Usually that's for a shorter period of time because their careers are usually sort of further along. And then they're usually thinking about this might be their last cycle of Olympics and they want to finish with an Olympic Games and retire after that. So it's more likely than not that they do go back into the sport.
And Dawn, what does training throughout pregnancy look like for an elite athlete? I know you've had first-hand experience of that fairly recently.
Yeah, I mean, most of my experience is with para athletes. So obviously there are other considerations and other risk factors that might be at play as a result of their disability. So, but in general, athletes are able to maintain a decent level of training, and that depends on the sport and it depends on the sport risks as well. So if you take a sport like wheelchair basketball, for example, and the contact risk and the risk of injury is significant, so there has to be modifications to that training load and those training programs to enable the athlete to maintain some sporting activity. So I think, you know, certainly from an aerobic fitness point of view, there's definitely some guidance that Esme will be able to inform around in terms of limitations. But most athletes are able to maintain a form of training, whether that's with some modifications or not.
And what is that guidance, Esme, in terms of aerobic health and fitness whilst pregnant?
Well, I think the main thing to think about for athletes when they're pregnant is that the health and well-being of them and the baby is the first thing to think about. So when we're working with athletes, usually that's one of their first questions is, what can and can't I do? How much can I train? Because being an athlete, that's their identity, that's their everyday life, that's what they're used to doing. So they want to know, what can I do here? So our role within that is to give them some guide rails to make decisions on. So we'll do things like give them an idea of what their heart rate should look like during a training session. So we say sort of 75% of your maximum heart rate is the upper limit that you should go to. And anything above that, where you go into sort of more of an anaerobic type training session, so where it's really hard, really high intense exercise, we wouldn't recommend doing that. So we'll give them some of those guide rails and then they can use that to adapt their training as they go. But like I said, the sort of most important thing really is the health and well-being of the baby and the mother. So we need to make sure that they're considering that all the way through. So their first point of contact for any of their decision-making has to be their healthcare providers. So we're talking about midwife, consultant, and then we move into that if they're healthy and well, what sort of training can we do? And that will change throughout the different trimesters. So in trimester one, you're probably doing very similar things to what you used to be doing. As Dawn was saying, probably starting to adapt as you move into trimester two around any sort of safety risks there might be through contact or falling in your sport. And then through into trimester three, again, you're looking at modifying even further. Again, it's just all about safety and well-being of the mum and baby. So we'll just adapt as we go through those different trimesters.
And what are some of the most common things that pregnant athletes ask you or want to know when they are pregnant? What have you found, Dawn?
Predominantly around pelvic health. So conversations around when and how they can activate their pelvis and the pelvic floor, because that's one of the challenges through pregnancy is certainly as the weight increases from the baby. So some of the things they want to know is what can they do? How can they exercise? So having that open and honest conversation with either their support team or through the UKSI support teams and the female athlete health team can be really, really important. We can guide them with exercises, some basic, simple things to do. But when you've got the challenge of para athletes who might have spinal cord injury or neurological impairment, then it may be that we need to refer via the athlete medical scheme for specific and targeted specialist pelvic health physios. Lower back pain is really common. So what happens to, why do I experience low back pain? What can I do about it? How can I access treatment? Those are very common questions that come up. And obviously laxity in joints increases around the pubic symphysis and also around the lumbar spine and the SI joint. So through pregnancy, and that's the result of the hormones creating that laxity in joints. And therefore there's a greater risk of injury. But there's also a risk that you could develop low back pain as the weight increases through trimester two and three. So those sort of things and how we can treat them, but also what positions can we treat in, because we can't go in prone, we can't lie on our back for too long, we can't exercise in those positions. So therefore, you know, just some general advice around how they can access support and utilise support belts and things like that to actually provide some stability around the SIJ.
And have you found anything different to that, Esme, or any concerns from athletes you've worked with?
I think we usually get the question we just talked about. So what's safe? That's usually one of the first questions that the athletes ask. But then they usually go on to say, you know, something about, am I going to lose all my fitness? Am I going to lose all my strength? And that's a huge concern for athletes. It's a huge shift in what they're used to focusing on. And it's completely understandable that they'll feel like that. They're used to being able to push their body to the absolute limit in pretty much all of their training sessions. And now we're telling them, can you just go to 75%? So that's a different feeling for athletes, and understand that that can be a bit challenging. So we talk to the athletes about what is actually changing in their body. Dawn just mentioned changes in hormones, and they change lots of different things in how the body works, how it functions. And that's all to support the growing baby. So that's all totally normal. There will be an element of losing some strength. And again, that's totally normal. They're not going to be able to train to the same sort of level, but they are going to be able to, if they're healthy and well, maintain a level of training all the way through to birth if they want to. So it's just working with them on their individual needs and where they're at with their different trimesters and how the pregnancy is progressing. And again, sort of all guided by midwife consultant team to help us make decisions on what would be best for that athlete. One thing that we do talk to athletes about is their aerobic fitness that Dawn mentioned before. A lot of the athletes we work with say, well, I'm starting to feel really unfit. I feel really out of breath. You know, what's happening here with my body? So we talk to them about what actually changes in terms of their physiology and their aerobic fitness. And there are actually some adaptations in pregnancy. So you get a huge increase in blood volume throughout the pregnancy, about 50% increase. And that's all to support blood flow to the placenta. And that actually will maintain aerobic fitness quite well. And once you've given birth and you come back into training, blood volume stays high. So you maintain that sort of adaptation all the way up to sort of 12 months post-birth. So some of your aerobic capabilities actually stay pretty well, to be honest. It might just be once you get back into training, you think about building up some of the muscle that you might have lost through pregnancy. But it's just, you know, talking to the athletes about that being normal. And that's all about supporting the growth of the baby, giving birth and being able to breastfeed afterwards. So they're all things that should happen and are normal to happen. And usually that just helps to sort of settle down the nervousness around changing training and what that does to, you know, what you look like and how you feel as an athlete.
Yeah, I think to add to that probably, Esme, there is a lot of postural changes that happen. So we talked about the joint laxity, we talked about the ligament around the joints, but you can change your posture as well. So increase your lordosis, your center of mass and your center of gravity will shift anteriorly because of potentially the weight of the baby. And then that whole change in position can maybe increase your risk of falling, can increase your risk of injury if you're going into like deep squat positions, for example, because of excessive range of movement. So there's lots of different changes that occur, and these can have a big impact on low athletes who perhaps use a prosthetic limb. So with limb deficiency or are sitting in a wheelchair, for example, and transfer regularly. So that change as you go through the later trimesters can actually have a significant impact on what you're able to do functionally in your everyday life as well as your sporting life. So I think those considerations are something that athletes want to know about, but also need sometimes some guidance in terms of how they can actually adapt movement and function as they go through pregnancy.
And is there any specific kind of protocol that the UKSI perhaps give to athletes? Obviously, you have to be fairly general because obviously all sports are different. But around each trimester, how do things change from a training perspective for the athletes? Esme, I'll start with you.
So each trimester, like we said, we give guide rails around what you should or shouldn't be doing in terms of health and well-being. So we'll start off with trimester one, where you might just be adapting your training based on symptoms that you might have. So if you have morning sickness, you're struggling to keep your nutrition at the same level, or you're struggling with hydration, we'd probably look at changing sort of some training around there and how we support their nutrition. One of the main things that we talk about in trimester one is maintaining body temperature. So during pregnancy, the thermoregulation of the body, so how you maintain your normal body temperature, changes. So your essentially maintaining body temperature for yourself and the baby. So the baby's producing heat, you're producing heat, and you as the mum have to get rid of all of that. So in trimester one, it's really important to maintain thermoregulation. And that's because if you increase body temperature too high, so it goes above normal for too long, then you increase the risk of neural tube defects forming in the fetus. So that's the trimester when usually most people haven't perhaps said to their support teams that they're pregnant. They might not know they're pregnant at that point, but they also might not feel comfortable sharing it. So it's really important to know that you need to maintain body temperature in that first trimester. Usually if you're exercising for about an hour and you're in a well-ventilated space and you've got some hydration, some water to take on board, that won't be a problem. It would just be about, you know, thinking about, do I need a fan when I'm training, if I'm inside, if I'm outside, looking at which layers you're wearing. So really simple things to think about. As you move into trimester two, you might start to think about decreasing your risk of perhaps falling or any impact. So thinking about the actual sport that you do and how that might impact on what your training you're able to do. So you might adapt from perhaps being out on the road on a bike to being inside on a bike. Again, into trimester three, that's something to think about as well. In trimester two, you're starting to think about changing, your center of gravity is starting to shift as the baby grows. So as Dawn was talking about before, you're thinking about adapting your exercise to perhaps sitting exercises rather than standing. If, for example, you're doing weights, you might start to think about into trimester three, moving away from a barbell and using dumbbells. So it's very much just thinking about how can I still use this training, but how can I adapt it to make it safer for me and the baby. So lots of things to think about, but we're, as a support team, here to help guide that process. So we just work with the athlete on a one-to-one, like you were saying, that every athlete we work with is an individual, and that stays true with pregnant athletes. So we need to think about them as individuals and their setup, their sport, and how we can support them.
And Dawn, is there anything from a physio kind of perspective that athletes who are pregnant through the trimesters might want to think about?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, avoiding any direct abdominal exercises is really important to reduce any risk of issue or impact on the baby. Lying on your front, lying on in your back for any length of time is not advised because that can put pressure on the placenta. So there are alternative positions that you can use to exercise in, like side lying and four-point kneeling. Pilates-based exercises are really good because they're not force or loading, so they can be actually really good exercises to do. But just being mindful of your range of movement, so just being mindful that you don't want to go in excessive ranges or be too flexible because of the joint laxity element. So they probably be key things that we would advise, as well as obviously taking that individual sport risk that Esme's talked about.
And is there a definite sort of cutoff point where you would say to an athlete, right, that's it, you really need to stop training and focus on obviously giving birth to a healthy baby?
I don't think there's a set cutoff point. There's some athletes that will sort of start to decrease their training in trimester two and perhaps do light walks or go swimming in trimester three. There are others that will train in their sport all the way up to birth. Some on the day of birth have done a light training session in the morning, and that's absolutely fine as long as there's nothing that will be sort of telling you that there's something wrong. So working with the healthcare team in that respect is really important. So if there's any pain, if there's any bleeding, if there's any excess breathlessness, so warning factors that are saying there's something wrong, which we would go through with the athlete individually, but anything like that will give us an indication that there's something not quite right, and we'd refer back into the midwife consultant team to support that. But in general, if you're healthy and well, you can train all the way up to birth. It would just be about adapting the exercises to make them safe.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's about that individualised risk assessment. So working with their obstetric team as well as a midwife, as well as the performance support team that's directly involved in the sport is the key. And Esme, myself and the female athlete health team are there just to guide and give that guidance that can help them make informed decisions. But those risk assessments pre and postpartum are really important. And that depends on the sport risk as well.
And obviously our elite athletes have been training right the way through, have given birth to their amazing children. What does training look like when they come back to sport? So postnatally, what do we need to consider, Esme, first of all?
So what we would usually do is actually come up with a bit of a guidance around what the return to sport might look like before they give birth. So it's really important for the athletes to consider what might this look like, for the support team to be on board with those conversations as well. What we do know is that we don't know what the birth will look like. We can't predict what that will look like. If you have a planned C-section, that's the only time in which you'll probably know how that will go. But we don't know what the birth will look like. So until the athlete's given birth, the baby's arrived and everyone's safe and well, we're not going to be able to put a plan together. So what we do is we say there's sections that we want them to consider. So give birth, and then we'll talk about when the next stage starts. The next stage might be something like doing pelvic floor exercises, which can be done pretty much straight away after birth, going for walks, doing some mobility that Dawn will be able to sort of come in more detail. We then might move into when would training start? So that would be the next phase we move into. Before we move into that, there'd need to be a conversation between the athlete and the support team they work with to say, are you ready to move into the next phase? Probably doing some assessments with the athlete. So again, Dawn will be able to comment more on the sort of pelvic floor health assessment that would need to be done. That then the athlete we'd say, right, you're ready to move into the next phase now. The next phase might look like doing some low-level aerobic exercise and seeing how they cope with that exercise, monitoring quite closely. You know, we'll give them things to look out for within their training, starting to monitor their heart rate again and their recovery. Once they've managed to do a couple of those sessions in a week, we'd look at starting to increase the training load very, very gradually. There's lots to consider in the postpartum phase that we aren't going to know the answers to until it happens. So is the athlete healthy and well? Is the baby healthy and well? And are they ready to return to their training? Because it's a huge life change for them. As with any mother giving birth, it's until you're in it, you don't know what it's going to feel like. So it's just being really respectful of what, you know, how the athlete's experience, allowing them that time with the baby where they're just, you know, they're being a mother and not athlete first. I don't know, Dawn, you've got quite a lot of experience in terms of the early guidance on when are you ready to do some exercise and what sort of things you can do. So I'm sure she can give some more wisdom there.
Yeah. How long typically are we talking before returning to kind of light training? Obviously, it's very dependent on how the birth went, but how many weeks are we talking usually?
I think if we're looking at it from exactly what Esme says, it really does depend on whether somebody has a cesarean or a natural vaginal birth. So that will obviously, to some extent, dictate how quickly someone can return to sport. You're probably averagely looking around, at the earliest, around 6 weeks before you return to some sort of sporting-based activity or any level of aerobic training. But that doesn't mean that you can't do some gentle exercises at home to work on flexibility and a little bit of what we call stability or control, including pelvic health. And having those open and honest discussions around the pelvic health is really important. So if they're experiencing any incontinence, if they're experiencing any problems or any pain in that area as well, I think that that's something to make sure that they have open and honest discussions so they can seek the support as early as possible. In terms of, you know, going out for walks, generally function and activities of daily living, would suggest that that obviously is something that you would do fairly early on, depending on obviously if you've had a cesarean. So that would obviously restrict some of the things you're able to do. But basic hip mobility, basic lumbar spine mobility, postural recruitment is probably what we're talking about. And so that low level just functional activity and walking is probably the first thing that you would do in those first few weeks.
And how does it differ between a return to kind of training between a vaginal birth and a C-section, for instance? What does it look like for both and how might it differ? Dawn?
Obviously, somebody who's had either an emergency or a planned C-section will have a wound. So they'll have an abdominal wound, essentially. So scar management's really important. So ensure that scar heals effectively and that they've got a scar management plan in place to minimise the risk of any problems. It also depends, vaginal birth can cause issues. If there's been any forceps or anything, you know, they're not straightforward necessarily. So I think that depends as well. And that will obviously dictate if there's any scarring or anything that they need to be more concerned with as they go into that postpartum phase. So for me, I think you know, realistically, it's individualized again. And as Esme said, like, it really does depend on the nature of the birth. But there are more restrictions with cesareans in terms of lifting, carrying, driving, etc. So that will obviously mean that potentially their recovery is prolonged.
And in terms of scar management, it sounded quite official, a scar management protocol or action plan. What does that actually mean? Is it just massaging your cesarean scar, or is there more to it than that?
I think it's monitoring your cesarean scar to ensure that there's no signs of infection, to ensure that it is healing effectively, and ensuring that there are massage techniques that can be used. There are other adjuncts as well if people are developing an additional scar tissue. So that, I think, working with a performance support team, if you've got any concerns around that, as well as the midwife and the health visitor, they're the people that probably would get eyes on it and can actually help advise on what to do.
And Esme, do many athletes you return to sport and to training, do many of them breastfeed whilst they're still training? And how does that work, and what considerations need to be made for that athlete?
Yes, they definitely do. We do. There's lots of examples of athletes in our system that have breastfed and trained and competed really successfully. It's something that we talk to the athletes about before they give birth, to think about how would that work practically for some of the more operational side of things with their sport. You know, how are they going to go down to training and feed at the same time? But lots of mums make that work for them. There's no reason to think about breastfeeding and training separately. You can do both things together. I think the additional thing to think about is just the calorie intake that you have as an athlete when you're training and breastfeeding, because obviously breastfeeding requires you to take on a few more calories and probably just monitor hydration a bit more closely as well. One of the things that we talk with the athletes about is just making sure they've got a really good sports bra fitting. If they're breastfeeding, they usually will have enlarged breast tissue, so they're going to need to think about how that changes throughout their sort of breastfeeding journey. Obviously, sort of straight after birth, you usually get larger sort of breast size. And then as they start to sort of feed less as the baby weans, then breast size might sort of go back to normal sizes or not. So it's just thinking about wearing a really supportive bra, both from a sort of breast health perspective, but also performance perspective. And some sort of more of the practical tips we talk to the athletes about is perhaps feeding before going for a training session so you don't get engorged. Also thinking about whether you might want to express milk before you go training, both from a sort of comfort perspective, but also then giving the option for the baby to be fed whilst you're not there, just reducing that stress around having to get home to feed the baby because you might miss it. We know some athletes that have brought their babies down to training to feed. And again, it's sort of working with the sport on what's the practicalities and is that possible for them? But definitely you can breastfeed and train, no problem.
And obviously we can now point them towards our sports bar episode as well on the UKSI podcast too. So Dawn, obviously you've been working with a para athlete who's recently given birth. Was there anything you learned that you could obviously use for other athletes? And what were the biggest challenges for that athlete coming back to training?
I think one of the biggest challenges for her was that her partner is also a para athlete in the sport. So obviously it didn't just directly affect her having the baby, but it was obviously also an impact on the partner who was also involved in the same team. So I think there's some lessons learned around just ensuring that not just the athlete, but their partner is involved in some of this decision making that can happen, and ensuring that the sport are kept up to date and involved in the process. So the athlete obviously sought support from Esme and myself from UKSI and subsequently Kate Hutchings and the female athlete health team around some specific pelvic health concerns. And I think it's definitely, you know, ensuring that there is that collaborative approach and that the sport are involved and that the athlete feels that they can access the support that they need through their own performance support team is probably one of the areas where we just need to ensure that athletes feel open and honest to have conversations, but they can also access support if they need to confidentially through UKSI. So whilst we always say it's individualised, it's collaborative, etc., they need to also potentially know that they can access support outside of their sport if they really feel they need to. And that's an individual choice.
And Esme, have you seen any other sort of challenges on return to training, perhaps from a practitioner perspective as well as obviously the athlete that you're working with?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like I said before, it's not an easy journey. So there are changes that the athlete is making for their lifestyle, also thinking about returning to their sort of previous levels of fitness, and that can sometimes cause quite a lot of stress and pressure. You know, am I going to get back to where I was before? Everyone else has been carried on training during that period where you've been pregnant and given birth and coming back. So it's that feeling that you might have lost some time. But what I usually see is the athletes that return are becoming really efficient with their time because they want to spend time with their baby as well. So they're really organized, they're really planned, they have got great nutrition, they usually are in and out of their training sessions and they focus really well in them. So we actually find that they are able to get back into their training, get back to their previous levels of fitness fairly. I wouldn't say it's easy because it's not easy. They have to train hard, but they can get back to those levels. And it's just like Dawn was saying about really being really collaborative. I would probably say that one of the most successful examples we've got of athletes returning back into their sport have been when they've worked really closely with their support team and they've driven the conversations. So they've, you know, organized the meetings, they've kept regular updates with everybody involved. And it's just felt like a really collaborative, like Dawn was saying, really collaborative sort of nice approach to that sort of support network. And they've been able to just, you know, pick up the phone and ask questions really quickly and been able to get their answer and get straight back into it. So it's definitely possible.
So it obviously sounds like there could be some positives to having a baby whilst being a female athlete. Are there any other positives you can think of or kind of helps to performance rather than thinking about this as obviously a hindrance to performance in some way?
I would probably just say perspective on life changes. I've definitely noticed that with a lot of the athletes I've worked with pre-birth. It's very much about training and return to training and how can I get back to that same level. And then post-birth, there's a lot of conversation about the baby and how they're doing and life outside of sport. And some of the athletes I've worked with have said, look, you know, I've gone into my sport and yeah, it's important to me and I really still want to win, but I have so much more outside of the sport that now I've got that perspective on it, and it just makes things a bit easier for them in that sort of pressured environment of a competition. They're sort of thinking about their family and their baby at home and how important that is to them as well. So definitely change of perspective.
I think that's sport-wide as well. I think the sport understanding that, you know, athletes are changing and having different perspectives. I think the sport is having to grow in that space as well and actually be a little bit more adaptive and flexible in terms of athletes who have had babies.
And have you got any tips on tiredness? Obviously, having a baby or having a young baby is a very tiring pursuit, as is training. Obviously, just asking for a friend here, but any tips on how to manage being knackered effectively? Esme, you're laughing, so you obviously have first-hand experience of this.
I do. I would probably say that one of the biggest challenges is not the training session. So the athletes go in and they can do the training. It's actually the broken night's sleep that they have repeatedly. And that is nothing you can train for. So you just have to accept that you are going to be tired. And then it's managing the load around that. So managing your nutrition, being really well planned. So for example, you go to a training session, you've got to rush back to feed the baby. So in that car journey from training session to home, what nutrition can you take on so that when you get home, you can then focus on what you need to do? Because inevitably what happens is you haven't got that planned. You rush home from training straight into being a mum and you forget to eat. And that's not going to help your recovery. So you can't really change the sleep. If you've got disrupted sleep because the baby's up in the night, then that's fine. What else can you do around that to help support what you're doing? I know a lot of people talk about having a nap when the baby naps, and that's almost impossible because you've got 5,000 other jobs to do.
And you're usually in the middle of a park as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Maybe don't sleep on the bench in the park. But you might want to think about, can you, within your training week, on the days that you're training, can you get someone in to just come and help for an hour or two so you can go up and have a nap? So that if you're missing sleep at night, you can make up for that in the daytime a little bit. Focus on some of the other areas that can help support your recovery rather than thinking that the sleep is the problem, because over time that will change. the baby will start sleeping at some point, hopefully. But during that period where it's really hard, focus on some other things that you can do to support your recovery.
I'd echo that, like being a mum as well, like actually napping when the baby is sleeping or getting some support so that you can get a nap is actually really, really helpful.
And is there anything from a physio perspective, Dawn, that obviously is impacted by lack of sleep?
Oh, interesting one. I think just generally mood as well.
Yeah.
You know, from a psychological perspective, if you're really tired, then you can be a little bit down, or like your mood can be significantly affected. So obviously there's psychologists in the teams that athletes can access to help with that. Just, I think really just your ability to cope. I think if you're just really, really tired, doing any kind of physical exercise can feel quite hard work. And just functionally, you know, we have athletes who their functional activities are a bit more energy dependent, like because they were in a wheelchair or they're using a prosthetic limb or etc. So it's just probably taking into account not just sporting activity and the energy requirements involved, but also the functional and activities of daily living. So therefore it's about managing, as Esme said, it's about managing overall load and making sure that you've got your recovery strategies right.
Okay. And before we let you go, I just wanted to bust some myths around pregnancy in sport. So we've just got a couple of quick fire questions and we'll go with Esme first, Dawn second on each of these. Myth number one, or potentially not myth number one, but question number one, you have to stop training and exercising when you're pregnant.
As long as you are healthy and well, and midwife or consultant team say you can exercise, you absolutely can exercise. It's really good for you. It's really good for the baby, for you to carry on exercising, whatever level that might look like. So whether you're an elite athlete and you're training in the gym, or you're a recreational athlete and you want to keep going and doing your exercise classes, or you want to keep riding a bike, then you need to just work through the trimesters, look at the risk factors and use those guide rails that are available to help you make decisions on it.
And number two, you can't do high impact training whilst pregnant.
Again, I think that depends on your individual risks and what your guidance is for your particular pregnancy and individualised. There are certain activities that we wouldn't recommend you do. And certainly as you go into later pregnancy, there's probably more guide rails. A Valsalva mover, for example, is something you need to avoid because that puts high pressure on the pelvic floor and can increase risks of injury. You shouldn't be doing high impact necessarily if you've got any risk factors in that area as you get into the trimester three, in particular when you have increased weight and your postural adaptations have probably taken place.
Okay, and thirdly, you're never the same athlete after pregnancy.
I would probably say that you can be a better athlete after pregnancy. We're not just talking about physical health here, we're talking about that perspective on life. And there's no reason why you can't continue to be the athlete that you were before you were pregnant and continue to improve like you had already been doing through your training. So it's just something for us to work with the athlete on like we would anything else as part of their performance, and definitely no reason why you can't be better than you were before.
Okay, and finally, to both of you, what's your best piece of advice to any athletes who are maybe thinking of starting a family or are already embarking on that journey? Dawn, we'll start with you.
I think just have an open and honest conversation with the people around you. So the support mechanisms that you've got both in the sport and also outside of sport, so that you can have that collaborative approach and you can understand the best way to train as you go through pregnancy and afterwards.
I would probably say, in addition to what Dawn just said, definitely use your support team, but you can also do your own research. So there are resources available. There are people to talk to, but I would point towards the UK Sport Pregnancy Guidance that's available on their website. There is also some IOC consensus statements. If you just put that into Google, you'll be able to find a little bit more information on pregnancy and use the people around you, ask lots of questions, be well informed about your own decisions, about what you want to do with your training and how you would like to return into your sport.
Okay, so just suppose an athlete has become or fallen pregnant and obviously is a bit concerned about, you know, who to tell, etc. What would you recommend them do, Dawn, within their sports and wider team?
Yeah, obviously it's quite a contentious question and a topic. I think it's important recognising whether you're in a high-risk sport or if you are a high-risk pregnancy. So that will be an individualised thing. But I think it's having that confidence to have a confidential conversation with somebody that you trust within the team or within your support team. So you can have that conversation and that somebody is aware. And that's really helpful if you're in a sport where there may be high risks, like contact sports or para sports, where you're in a wheelchair and the risk of falling is increased. So I think that would be my thoughts in terms of just having that confidential conversation, using somebody within your support team that you can inform, but that's based on individualised risk.
Yeah, and I think I'd just add that if you don't feel comfortable talking to someone in your sport, you want more information without bringing up that topic with someone in the sport, the UK Sport Pregnancy Guidance, which is available on their website, there's one specifically for athletes and there's one for the sports. They're really good documents to have a read through. They point to lots of resources and links to other guidance that might help you make decisions around who you tell and when you want to tell them.
Brilliant. Esme, Dawn, some great advice for new mums out there, whatever their sporting journey looks like. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed that episode and found it useful, you can find out more about the work we do, especially around female athlete health and performance, by checking out the UK Sports Institute on our socials at UK Sports INST. That's almost it for this series, but don't worry, before I go, we've got one more bonus episode for you. So keep an eye out on your podcast feed for the very next Insider. Until the next time, thanks for listening, and we'll catch up soon.